Good morning. Before I start, I want to thank Dave and Carol Mader for arranging the trip yesterday down to Sight and Sound. Thank you guys for organizing the tickets and stuff. If you've never been to one of those, it's pretty cool because when we read the Bible, we think everything's like said real seriously and prim and proper, you know. But then when you see it acted out, you see, you know, Jesus saying stuff was sort of a laughter, or he was joking around with people and stuff like that. So it's sort of neat to see that these words that we read that we think are so, you know, like, I don't know, serious, you know, maybe in some cases Jesus was saying them with some laughter and stuff like that. So it was pretty neat to see their interpretation. So thank you for arranging that. It's fine. Famous quote, see if you can complete it. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Thank you very much. Former President Franklin Roosevelt, famous quote from him. And you think about his presidency, there was a lot of events in our country that could have brought out fear in people. He came in to his presidency during the Depression. People were wondering where their food was going to come from. Where their jobs, where their money was going to come from. So that was a very fearful time. And his presidency ended during World War II, when we were in, you know, we were part of this, you know, stopping the Nazis in Europe and the Japanese in the Pacific. So there was a lot of events during his presidency that could have brought out fear in people. And I think this quote, this is my interpretation, is, the only thing that we have to worry about fear is that it consumes us and that our fear overtakes what we're going to do. It's all right to be fearful because that's normal. But when we let the fear overtake us, that's when we have to be sort of scared of our own fear. Now, today we're going to talk about fears. And one area that we're going to talk about, I remember a couple years ago when we did our survey about our church. One of the areas that we were weak in as a congregation is probably the toughest thing to do as a Christian, and that was evangelism. That was not one of our strengths as a church, is evangelism. And I think that's because, and this is speaking to myself, that's a fearful thing to do. That's a tough thing to do, to go out and share your faith with others, and you don't know what's going to happen. So that could bring out some fear. So we're going to talk about that today in our sermon. But there are definitely some healthy fears. Christianity 101, part A, whatever you want to say, fear of the Lord. That is definitely one thing as a Christian we need to practice. And we see some verses up here from Proverbs. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. So definitely a fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. Fear of injury. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to hurt other people. So there are things that I don't do so I don't get hurt or hurt others. Fear of punishment. I don't ever want to see the inside of a jail cell. I don't know about you guys, but I never want to see the inside of the jail cell. Other punishment. I don't want to get called in by my boss and get fired. I especially don't want to get in trouble with Don. So, fear of punishment. And also, fear of disappointing others. Now, this could be good or bad. You know, there's a saying, would you do that if your grandmother was there? Or would you say that if your grandmother was there? So, you know, the fear of letting down someone, you know, might keep you from doing something that you shouldn't do. But there's also letting down someone, maybe using an excuse to not take a chance. If you think about in the Bible, this master gave his servants some talents. He gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And the servant with 5, he went and doubled it. The servant with 2 doubled it. The servant with 1 buried it in the backyard because he didn't want to lose it. And when the master came back, he praised the 2 that doubled their money. But the one that just buried it, He said, "And what did you do? What did you do?" He's like, "Well, I was scared to let you down. So I didn't do anything with it at all. I just buried it, and here it is." And I think Jesus' message in that parable was, God has given us stuff. He doesn't want us to bury it in the backyard. We got to step out of our fears, and we got to take some chances with our faith. So, as we start today, has fear ever affected our faith? Do we shy away from opportunities to share our faith with other people? Are we afraid to do the right thing? And do we ever think to ourselves, am I the right person to do this, to share my faith with others? So we're going to break this down in a couple different categories. The first one is shying away from opportunities to share our faith. First thing we're going to look at is concerned about our image. What if I don't know what to say? What if I'm rejected or lose a friend? And do my actions back up my faith? So the first one is, my faith is more important than my image. Each one of us has an image. We have a work image. We have an image around our friends. We have an image in our family. And some of us love our images. I'm very proud of the image that I created, we might say to ourselves. And how's my image going to be affected if I start talking about my faith? How's my image going to be affected if I start doing, you know, talking about how Jesus has helped me and start talking about Jesus at work or, you know, when I go out with my friends? Well, here was a person who had a lot to lose, and they were not afraid of letting their image get in front of their faith. A centurion, if you know anything about a centurion, Roman soldier, the only god a Roman soldier had was Caesar. That was the only god that he was supposed to worship or praise, was his leader, Caesar. He was especially not supposed to do anything with these Jewish dogs that we were conquered and that we're ruling. Especially do anything like bowing down to any of these Jewish people. Because he could lose his rank. He could be thrown in jail. And he could even, like, and the least was probably losing the respect of his men and the officers above him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following me, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel." Can you imagine this centurion going up to Jesus, a Jew, and asking him for help? He didn't care what was going to happen. He just wanted his servant to be healed. And he knew Jesus was the person for that. And can you imagine the crowds when Jesus said, "This is the best faith I've ever heard"? And a bunch of Jewish people were standing around. And he said, "This Roman soldier has had the best faith I've ever found in Israel." That was sending a message also to the people that were there listening. Next part about our image, how am I going to be viewed if I do the right thing? That whole peer pressure thing. If I don't go along with the crowd, how am I going to be viewed? Well, I love the first quote. "Always do the right thing no matter what others say. It is you, not them, who have to face the consequences." Have you ever seen a movie where a person's like hesitant about doing something and then they finally join in with the crowd and they're at a big party or something like that that they're not supposed to be doing? Then the party gets busted and everyone flees, and the person who didn't want to do it in the first place is the one that's caught. Where's all their friends at now? They're nowhere to be found. And when you do the right thing in the right way, you have nothing to lose because you have nothing to fear. This goes back to what John talked about a couple weeks ago, your motivation for doing the right thing. If you're doing things for the right reason, you have nothing to fear. Yesterday, it was portrayed in the play down there about Peter. And Peter, one of the big things Peter did in his life that unfortunately he'll be remembered for, is he let his fears get in the way of doing the right thing. Peter denied our Lord. He had the chance to step up and say, I know this guy, he's my friend, I'm a follower. But he let his fears get in the way. And when someone there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are not one of them. You are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you are talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Can you imagine being Peter at that moment when the Lord turned around to you right after the rooster crowed? Can you imagine that? You're scared sometimes when your spouse looks at you cross. Can you imagine our Lord and Savior looking at you? Peter let his fears get in the way. But just like us, Peter overcame his fear of doing, of what image he had, or being afraid to do the right thing. You know, the apostles after Jesus' death, they didn't know what was going on. They were scared. They locked themselves away, because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And then Pentecost came. And Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit, and they put their fears aside of what was going to happen to them. And Peter stood up and said, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. So Peter put aside his fear of his image, his fear of standing up and doing the right thing, and he did the right thing. It would be interesting to see the people that he addressed, how many were at the fire that night when he stood up, when he denied Christ. You wonder if any of them were with that crowd that day when Peter addressed. And just to end this section, when we are concerned about messing up our own image, let's think about this image. This image is love. This is our Savior. This is our King. That's the image of love. And hopefully when we are concerned about how we'll be looked at, we can think about that and not worry so much about our image, but doing the right thing. Some of us in here, and I'm amazed, like I just sat in Sunday school, and I am so intimidated in Sunday school because there are people that know the Bible so much more than me, so much better than me, verses, books, and I'm just amazed because there's a lot in the Bible if you haven't noticed. What is there, like 33,000 verses? And they can pick out a verse out of the 33,000. I'm like, wow, that is impressive that they can do that. But a lot of times, we're maybe scared to share our faith with other people because we don't know what to say. We don't know the verse right off the tip of our tongue of what we should say. Well, there was a person back in the Old Testament that also had this trouble, and he tried everything he could to get out of what God wanted him to do. And his name was Moses. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. That's what the Lord is saying to us, too. I will be with you. I will help you with what you should say. Just trust in me. And Jesus backs this up in John. And if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. God is with us when we go to speak about him. We got to trust. And we got to know that, you know, that we'll be all right. That God will help us to say the right thing. Overcoming rejection. This is always a tough one. How am I going to be received? What are my friends going to say? What's that person going to say to me? You know, you sort of feel bad. Jehovah Witnesses do a great job of coming around to the neighborhoods. How many of us are hoping that they pass up our doors at times? You know, I know that their religion has some flaws, but you got to admire that they come around to the houses. You got to admire that they do that. And but they're not, you know, they don't fear the rejection that they might face. They still do it. You know who got rejected a lot in their lives? Jesus. Jesus got rejected a lot. Not everybody he talked to followed him. Pharisees really didn't follow him. A lot of just the common people didn't follow him. So Jesus knew rejection. In fact, his own family rejected him. But when the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. His brothers did not believe in their big brother. They did not believe that he was the Son of Man, the Son of God. And they're like, you know what? Go. Go show yourself to the rest of the world. You want to be famous? You go ahead and go show yourself to the rest of the world. But they did not believe in him. Can you imagine your own family rejecting you? They did not believe in their big brother. But Jesus reminds us, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says, if someone rejects you because you're trying to, you know, talk about me to them, you're trying to bring them in to God, if they reject you, you're blessed anyway. So it's like a no-lose situation. You're blessed by God either way, and you could bring someone in to God, or you can bring someone to God. So it's like a no-lose situation. But what we got to do is the fact that we're going to be blessed more valuable to us or more powerful than the fact that we could be rejected? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Am I worthy to share? Who here has no skeletons in their closet? All of us. All of us have skeletons. All of us have acted in front of people in ways that we shouldn't. And they know that what we've done. And it always strikes me. One time I was going to preach, and I told a guy at work, and he's like, "You're going to preach?" And I tell you what, that hit me right between the eyes, because that told me that my life wasn't showing that I was very Christian. My life wasn't showing that I was very Christian. And I don't know if I'm doing any better because that was a couple years ago, but we all sometimes feel a little inferior because the people are going to come back with that whole hypocrite thing. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you did, and yet you're telling me to go to church or read the Bible, and I know what you did. But we got to overcome that. There's a pretty famous guy in the Bible that had a really bad dark side. His name was Paul. And if you don't know anything about Paul, he loved to kill Christians, at least at the beginning. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul, Paul, approved of their killing him. So Paul, he thought, I'm going to be this good Jew. Anyone who's against this, our Jewish faith, this new way of thinking, these Christ followers, I'm going to hunt them down. And we're going to kill as many of them as we can. And Ananias knew this. And a little bit later on in Acts, Lord Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man," which was Paul, "and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" God didn't care about Paul's past. He said, "I can use Paul." As much passion as he had for the Jewish faith, I could use that same passion to spread my word here on earth. And he used Paul, and as we know, Paul became one of the most prolific evangelists ever. He's saying that to us. I know your past. I know what you've done. I want you to help me. I want you to help me starting now. Don't forget. Don't worry about your past. I've forgotten about that. You're forgiven. Start helping me now. And we got to be willing to do that. Yesterday in that play, it was interesting when Jesus was getting tempted when he was praying in Gethsemane. And I don't think this is biblical, but they put this part in where you heard Satan talking to Jesus and saying, you don't have to do this. And Jesus is like, "I want your will to be done." And Satan's like, "Well, what about your will? What about your will? There must be another way to do this." So, not that Saul, in this case, the older Saul, was Satan, but just to sort of hear the words that he says to David in this, because sometimes Satan is saying to us, when you're not the right person to talk to that person. He puts doubts into our heads whether we're the right person to go share our faith with someone. He's telling us, you don't know your Bible well enough. Look at your past. You're not the right person to do this. And I think that's Satan talking to us, building upon our fears. And sort of that's what Saul was saying to David here. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. For you hunters, no gun." He didn't have a gun. He struck it. "When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Wow, that's a tough guy. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Can you just hear Satan sort of talking through Saul there? David, you can't do this. You're too young. You don't know what you're doing against this guy. But David knew he was the right person for the job. I defeated bears. I've defeated lions. This guy here, the Lord's going to be with me, and I'll take care of him too. We have to believe we're the right person for the job. We got to believe in ourselves and believe that the Lord will be with us as we talk about our faith or share our faith with others. Jesus knows fear, or he knew fear, he knows fear. The night before he died, he was scared. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew it wasn't going to, a couple of slides ago, he knew that's where he was going to end up on the cross. He knew that. He knew his friends were going to betray or scatter him. He was going to get betrayed. He was going to get denied. He was going to get whipped. He was going to get beaten. He was going to hear people say, crucify him. Can you imagine that? Someone saying, you hear this crowd, like you guys start to say, crucify me. Boy, that would be really something to hear. And he was scared. And he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus was scared. But he said to his Father, what your will is, let it be done. Father, I'm scared to go talk to that person about my faith. Your will be done. Father, I know about my past. Will that person listen to me about my faith? Your will be done. Father, I really want to invite that person to church, but I don't know if they're going to say yes or no to me. Your will be done. So whenever we get scared, maybe we just keep saying what our Lord said that night. Your will be done. And to start to wrap up here, Dale Carnegie, famous business guy, he said, if you want to conquer fear, don't sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy. Now, as Christians, our first step is always to pray. Great first step. But we got to do something then. We have to go and take that first step and go talk to that person or go share our faith or invite a person or something. We can pray and pray and pray, but we got to be willing to actually do some actions also to help us to overcome our fear. Because maybe when we invite the first person and they come, it might be easier to invite the next person to come. We talked about the first, we talk about our faith to someone. Might not go so well, but hey, we did it. Maybe I can improve and the next time it'll go better. But we got to be able to do something. And in closing, Jesus lets us know we're not alone in this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus knows it's not going to be tough. It wasn't easy for him on earth. And he knows it's going to be tough for us. We got to ask ourselves as Christians, are we willing to overcome our fears and take that step to help someone to come to our Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the evangelists throughout history. Someone helped to bring us to you. And we thank you for that person, Lord. And we pray that we may be an evangelist to someone else, to help them come to know you. Please help us, Lord, to overcome whatever fears that we might have about doing that, whatever doubts we may have. Help us, Lord, to always know that you're with us and that you're going to guide us. And whether it works out or not, you're going to bless us. Please help us this week to set a good example, to be willing to share our faith with others, and to always to trust in you and put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we are about ready to sing the invitation song, if anybody has a need for the church, or if you would like to be baptized, please come forward as we sing.